that I was strong. I'll have no fear, 'cause Jesus walks beside me. For I'm sure of God.
So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, not a bird shall harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
Soon I shall hear
the call
from heaven's portals.
Come on home, my child.
Come home, my child.
It's the last mile you'll have to trot.
It's the last mile you have to trot.
I'll just fall asleep.
I'll fall asleep
and wake up
in God's new heaven. Forever sheltered
within
the arms of God.
The arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God.
He walks with me,
and not a bird
shall harm me,
for I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's a privilege for me to be able to stand here and be able to represent the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to you and to represent this dear family that we have known and been involved with over the years. I was thinking about the first time that I ever remember meeting James and Alice, and my earliest memory was when they came into the sanctuary there at Grace Baptist Church. They came up and we shook hands and introduced ourselves to one another. And the last thing James Calloway said to me before he turned and went and sat down, he said, "I want to hear the truth." And I thought, "Yes, sir." That was the alpha, the first thing that I remember. Then I got a message from him through his dear son, Clay. And Clay said, "Brother Gene, my daddy wants you to preach the gospel." So that's the omega. So the first thing I heard was, "Preach the truth to me." And the last thing I'm hearing is, "I want you to preach the truth to my family and friends." God is so good to us. Dear soul, listen, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've been trying to walk with God since I was a teenager. God saved me a long time ago. I've been preaching over 50 years. And that verse finally became clear to me. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I used to think that meant faith cometh by reading the Bible. But I found out in the beginning was the word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, the same was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Far as I know, my Bible ain't never become flesh and dwelt among us. But that word that it's talking about is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by coming to understand and perceive the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, relying on Him, clinging to Him. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So we come to understand and see that there's a lot of things about religion that has messed us up as far as salvation is concerned. So faith, why do we need faith? He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What is not of yourselves? Neither the grace nor the faith. And he goes on to say, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I said, but Lord, I got saved while I was praying. I prayed God save me. He said, you couldn't pray God save you till you was already born again. Because the sinner is a dead man. Dead in trespasses and sins. That's what the Bible says. Do you realize that either Adam and Eve walked out of that garden as dead people or God's a liar? God said, in the day, that's a 24-hour period, thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, did they surely die? Well, they ate of it. God said, you eat of it, you'll die that day. But they walked out of there. Grown people had appetites, had activity, but somehow or another they was dead. That's the condition of the sinner today. The sinner is dead in trespasses and sins. That's why we need grace. Grace comes to do that which is impossible for us to do. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that grace and that faith is not of yourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. I lived as a lost church member for 7 years. I followed my two brothers down an aisle at a Southern Baptist church. They baptized me and gave me a little New Testament. And I found out later that I went down a dry center and came up a wet center. That's all that happened to me. 7 years later, the Holy Spirit come knocking on my heart's door and said, son, you're living a lie. You're living hypocrisy. But Lord, I sing in the youth choir. Big deal. Not of works. But Lord, I was baptized. Went down to dry center, came up a wet center. I'm a member of the church. My name's on the roll, he said, but your name needs to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, son. And God, the Holy Ghost, quickened me and made me alive. And for the first time, I realized I was a sinner. I had been dead in trespasses. I had been dead in sin. And thanks be to God, he didn't leave me like that. And I said, well, Lord, I'm truly thankful for salvation more than I've ever been before, because there I was trying to offer God morality, but God requires righteousness. You can be moral. We don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't go with the ones that do. You can be moral but not be righteous. I was. Righteousness has to have my sin placed in Christ's account in order that God's righteousness can be placed in my account. 2 Corinthians 5, for he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Did you get that? The righteousness of God. God's people are not just, you know, just been warmed over a little bit and just had a makeover. They are new creatures in Christ Jesus. It's the righteousness of God. I don't think church members know that. I think us, or is it we? Anyhow, all y'all living in the Bible Belt, we think morality is acceptable. And, you know, if our neighbor, you know, his cat comes over on our yard, we don't shoot it. We're nice to him, and we look after things. When they go on vacation, we bring their mail in and do good stuff. But they're so, that ain't what I'm talking about. We're deceived into thinking that morality and doing good to one another is acceptable to God, and it's not. Not as far as salvation is concerned. We need grace. Well, what is sin? Why is it so bad? Romans 5 and verse 23. No, Romans 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned, and what is sin? And come short of the glory of God. Wait a minute. Lord, there's one thing about me. I ain't never had no glory. I ain't never been accused of being glorious. I sure can't be able to stand before God with any recovered glory of my own. So sin is coming short of God's glory. How are we going to get the glory back? John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. You're going to have Jesus Christ bring back the glory of God to you. You're going to have Jesus Christ take on your sin that you might take on His righteousness. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. God said, be ye holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy. He said, I can't do it. He said, right. Not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't do it. What do you need? You need God's grace. For by grace are we saved. Not by trying to be good or have good works. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And it goes on to the next verse that I very seldom hear preachers or religionists read in Ephesians 2:10. The next verse tells you something about works. It says, for we are Christ's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Wait a minute. Preacher, you just said in Ephesians 2:8, not of works. Right. But Ephesians 2:10 says unto good works. Now, so let me tell you this. I thought that being a good moral person, doing my works, would bring in salvation. This says it don't do it. But it does say when God brings in salvation, the works will follow. My wife had a little old dog. He was a Jack Russell Terrier. That dog aggravated me so much. You're talking about making a preacher aggravated. I mean, he wouldn't come when you called him. You couldn't do nothing with him but just whatever he wanted to do. But I noticed this. When he did come, his tail would follow. When a person does receive grace, the works will follow. Now, it would have been odd if Jesse's tail, that was his name. It would have been terrible if Jesse's tail had been on his nose. You say, that's stupid. That's right. Works do not precede salvation, but like Jesse's tail, when he did come, the tail followed along behind him. If you are born again, it says we are ordained to these works. Did you realize that you can tell a Christian by the works that they do from the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this. I got an apple tree in my yard. It ain't never had no apples on it. I can't figure that out. But anyhow, if it had apples on it, how would you know what kind of tree it was? Got apples on it. It's got to be an apple tree. Well, does an apple tree produce apples in order to become an apple tree? No. It produces apples because it is an apple tree. A Christian shall be known by their fruits. It is not of works. It doesn't precede salvation. I can't do anything in order for God to accept me and for me to be saved. But I will be doing those things that God has ordained for Christians to do when the Holy Spirit resides in them. And Jesus said, a good tree will always bring forth good fruit. And by their fruits ye shall know them. So we got two phrases in this in Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 10. Not of works. Jesse's tail wasn't on his nose. Works don't precede salvation. I thought it did. There may be some of you dear folks here today, bless your dear hearts, that was like I was. I thought everything was all right between me and God. I was a church member. I didn't do all them things church members ain't supposed to do. But the Holy Spirit showed me I didn't have righteousness. You can't get righteousness from being a church member. You can't get righteousness from being a good morality person. You can only get righteousness if your sins were placed on Christ. Your sins, I ain't talking about, well, we know Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. The devils in hell know that for a fact, and ain't none of them saved. Having a mental assent to know that Jesus died on a cross, that's just a mental assent to it. That ain't going to do you a bit of good. You still got to get back to the glory. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you see Jesus in his glorious person, or is he just that baby in a manger at Christmas time on your Christmas cards, or, you know, that dead guy on the cross that you see hanging around some people's necks? Or do you weep in your heart when you think about what he did for you? I think about what I did to him. It breaks my heart every time. And I want you to know something. I so-called repented one time to become a church member and was lost church member for 7 years. I haven't stopped repenting since God saved me. I even repent of some of my repentance. That's what righteousness does for you. Oh, my soul, it's altogether different. He says, for we are Christ's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 1, 3, and 4 says that the person is ordained. You're chosen in him from the foundation of the world. But Ephesians 2, 10 says the works that you'll do are ordained. You cannot, I'm glad my English teacher ain't here. We cannot not do this. If you are a born-again child of God with righteousness in your heart, it's not the righteousness of the Baptist. It's not the righteousness of the Methodist, the Pentecostal, the Catholic, whatever. It's the righteousness of God. Isn't that something? Lord Jesus, how do we get this glory back? John chapter 2 and verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. You can't believe on the Lord Jesus until God shows you his glory. Have you seen the glory of God, or just the pageantry and tradition of religion? Do you know him whom you have believed, and are you persuaded that he is able to keep that which you've committed unto him against that day? I pray with all my soul for you that God would open your eyes and let you see a different Jesus. See God's Jesus, not religion's Jesus. And you'd come to know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in righteousness. Thank God for this dear family. On their behalf, I'd like to thank all of you for coming out today and encouraging their hearts. You continue to pray for them and ask God to encourage their souls and fill their hearts with joy and love and peace. And I thank God that we have one who stands in the presence of glory right now on your behalf and on those behalf that have already crossed over. May God bless you sincerely is my prayer.
Yeah, I knew James Calloway more than anybody on this earth, with the exception of this lady here, because I worked with him from the time that I was 10 years old.
And so there were a lot of times when we'd have occasion to not only brick houses, I'd have the great blessing of hearing a lot of good teaching. Like I wrote in the obituary, he was a philosopher, he was a theologian, he was a poet. He really was a Renaissance man. And all of you here that knew him, you knew the things that he went through in his life. You know the journey that the Lord took him on to get him ready for heaven. And y'all know that my father battled addiction for many years in his life, but God sent a group to him that got him included, got him involved. And he learned some of those truths that we can't do things for ourselves, that God's the one that has to do it. So that was kind of the beginning of his real spiritual journey, where he started to depend on God more and more. But there was one thing in his life that he had not yet surrendered to the Lord. And that was his heart that was filled with sin. And it bothered him because, as Brother Gene mentioned in the message, my father was like lots of other people, like most people. We think that we can do something to make God love us. My father always felt like he never measured up. And he didn't. But he didn't know what to do about that. He had that mental assent about Jesus, but he had not yet trusted him to be his Savior. And kind of throughout a process, God just brought him, just drew him into the kingdom. I used to teach my little Presbyterians that in the Bible, when Jesus said, "No man can come unto me unless the Father draw him," that word "draw" is the same word that the fishermen used. They would draw their nets. They would drag their nets up into the boat. The Holy Spirit took James Calloway, and as us Southern rednecks would say, he drug him up into the boat. And when he got in that boat, he became a preacher. He'd be laying brick all day. And when he'd get on a real good point, he'd shake that trowel at you. You'd be kind of scared, you know. I'll never forget when my father worked up the nerve to ask my cousin, Reverend Rick Whitlock, to baptize him. And I remember the conversation like it was yesterday. We were out on the job site. And he said, "Rick, I want you to baptize me." And being a good preacher, a good believer in the gospel of grace, Rick made sure that my daddy understood that it wasn't because he prayed a prayer. It wasn't because he said something or did something. It's because he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and he trusted in him alone for salvation. And so Rick baptized my father, and my father and mother began a spiritual journey together. And he truly became the spiritual leader in the household. And they had a little journey, and they wound up at this church called Grace Baptist Church, pastored by Gene Breed. And I'll never forget my daddy coming home the first day they visited there. He said, "Have you ever heard of this fella?" I said, "Yeah, I heard of this fella." I said, "He preaches the truth, doesn't he?" He said, "Like nobody else." And my dad would get so excited. We'd be laying brick all day, and we'd come in, and he'd come running out to the house. "I got a new tape by Brother Gene." And we'd sit there at the table, and we'd listen to Brother Gene preaching, and Pop say, "Now stop that and rewind that again." He couldn't get enough of that. Brother Gene talked about the fruits that bore witness to the working of the Holy Spirit in my father's life. And one of the most wonderful things that happened to my father, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all knew him. Boy, he held on to a grudge. Woo-wee. He'd hold on that thing and never let loose of it. But when my father trusted in the Lord Jesus, his heart began to soften. And people that he didn't want anything to do with because of something that was said or some misunderstanding, he began to love those people. And when he would see them, he would tell them that he loved them. He bragged on all these people. I was like, "Pop, just a few years ago, you said something different." "Oh, but I love these people now." The Lord Jesus worked in his life. And that was just one of the many fruits that he had. As he wanted people to love each other and forgive each other. And to me, that was one of the best things, one of the best indications of what happened in my father's life. And I want to say, too, that my father was blessed with a wonderful woman. There's nobody. She took care of my father so well. And she truly, of course, as we know, was the strong one. The strong one. And that was just another blessing from the Lord that James Calloway was blessed with a wonderful helpmate. I saw our good friend, Dr. Jim Sams, here earlier. And I wanted to tell him this, but in closing, I promise I'm a Calloway. I know I yap too much. But in closing, I just want to say this. Y'all know that the Calloways were Sam's people, right? You're either Sam's person or not. You're either a red wine person or you're not. Calloways were both of that. So my daddy was beyond thrilled when my mama come home from Dr. Sam's. Dr. Sam's wants to know if he can use your real name in his book. You're going to be the first one, all these books he's written, he's changed the name. But he wants to use your real name. And Pop was just like, "What?" He wouldn't have taken $1 million for that. This joy that he got, his awesome friend Dr. Sams wrote about him in the book and used his real name in the book. He rejoiced that his name was in the book. But more than that, my father, James Calloway, rejoiced that his name was written in the book of life. And in the closing months of his life, when my mom had to go to a doctor's appointment, and my wife Maria or somebody would take her to the doctor, and I'd sit there with my dad, and he'd be in his wheelchair, and we'd be sitting at the table, and we talked about that verse. We talked about this verse a million times, where Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And my father's house are many mansions, if it were not so. I would have told you. And I remember that my daddy said, I believe that because he rescued me. My father was happy and proud that Dr. Sams put his name in the book. But what gave him the greatest joy was that the Lord Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, chose him and wrote his name in the book, that he would come to this earth and he would die on the cross and rise again so that my father could be with the Lord Jesus forever and ever. And that's where he is today. Thanks to all of you for everything you've done for our family.
Amen. Thank you.
Anybody else?